Yaakov Avinu had to use deception, and it was the right thing to do, but it still had negative repercussions, and it was still a hard thing to do in a really bad situation, and we suggested that communication beforehand might avoid some of those issues. That was one mahalach lita. With all that, I still was always bothered by a question. Question is, we refer to Yaakov Avinu as an Ish Emet. Titen Emet Yaakov, the Pasuk in Micha says. And we say it every day in Tefillah, that Yaakov Avinu represents the man of truth. So, maybe he had to do what he had to do, but it just seems a little bit, I don't know, dishonest for us to say that Yaakov is this perfect man of truth when we see he's interacting with deception. He seems to be acting with deception so often. So something to me never really made any sense. Yeah, has anyone else ever been bothered by that a little bit? That this man of super truth, if you read the pshat, I don't know, it doesn't always look like he's really acting with truth. And it's not just when it comes to how he treated Esau. Where else does it seem, and I'm not judging, but it seems like on a pshat level, Yaakov is using deception.
The birthright situation.
The whole birthright situation with stealing of the birthright, for sure. In addition, I would even say with that story with Lavan. Remember the whole, the sheep, the white sheep, the black sheep. Granted, you know, Lavan was a tricky guy, and sometimes you got to be tricky with tricksters, but it still seems a bit deceptive the way that that Yaakov acts with Lavan. Like, behind his back, he's running away from Lavan. You know, Ganav et Lev. Lavan, which is actually the source for Gneva Sadas, is from Yaakov being deceptive. So he's being deceptive with his brother. He's being deceptive with Lavan, it seems. So how could it be that we refer to him as the man of truth? You guys hear the kasha? You hear the question? Okay. Any ideas? What do you guys think? Any suggestions? Yeah.
Sometimes you need to be deceptive because you can always be honest with your own, that's amazing, but sometimes when it comes to that situation, sometimes you make a hard choice. When you can really do that, you realize that, like, I don't know if Dora ever said that, like, Yaakov felt bad for doing it. There's a way of, like, when you say that, like, maybe it's not the best way of doing it. Because even, like, even in you can interpret it in Toldos when Richard says, like, oh, you should do this. He's like when my father finds out, he's honest, you could interpret it as, I don't want to lie.
I'm sticking to the truth as much as possible, but I'm stuck. Good. Okay, so that is definitely the mahalach that Rashi seems to push forward, and actually Rav Nevin Sol in the Sefer pushes that idea. I think Strive for Truth also talks about that. That some truth sometimes is a bigger value, and it's not always about saying exactly words of truth, but it's about, you know, sticking to the higher value, the higher values of truth, and that's what Yaakov Avinu was. He was always sticking to truth. Okay, and for sure that's one way of looking at it. But I actually got exposed to Rabbi Foreman's way of looking at it, which is a whole different way of looking at how Yaakov Avinu is a man of truth. And the way he explains it simply is that it's not that Yaakov was always the man of truth. It's that Yaakov became a man of truth. And that there's a transformation that we have going on here from the beginning of Yaakov's life to the end of his life. Okay? And that works a lot better for me. And if we take that perspective, I think we can also understand the story in this week's Parsha of the battle with the angel. The mysterious Vayvater Yaakov Levado story where Yaakov is stuck, he's left alone, and there's this man, and they're wrestling all night, and everyone's like, what is going on there? No one's sure what's going on, but somehow that's how we got the name of Israel. Vayikra Yaakov Sham Makom Peniel. He calls the face of God. Ki ra'it Elohim panim el panim. I've seen God face to face. Vatinatel nafshi, and my life was saved. And Yaakov's name gets switched from Yaakov to Yisrael. And if you think back, why was his name originally Yaakov? How did he get that name?
Akev.
He was chasing after his brother. And then ankle is the part of the body which is always moving. okay, which doesn't say straight, it's like twisty. And Yaakov is chasing after Esav, and he's trying to kind of not head on. He's trying to catch up to him. And the story with the birthright, once again, perhaps it wasn't his fault, but Yaakov is forced to use deception. He's not facing his brother. He's sneaking in. He's sneaking in and sneaking out in order to get the birthright. And the same thing when it comes to Yaakov Avinu and Lavan, there's a lot of deception. But finally, in this story, we see that Yaakov is facing the angel face to face. And of course, really the angel according to the Midrash, who represents who? Who is this the angel of?
Esau.
The angel of Esau. So these are all really just a foreshadowing to the story of Yaakov finally facing up to his brother Esau. Yeah?
Is it Rashi that interprets it? Penuel?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I don't remember. Yeah. But in any case, when it comes to his interaction with his brother Esau, what's the difference in how Yaakov is now treating Esav as opposed to how he treated Esav in the past? What's happening when he calls out to his brother?
Like he's lower than him. He's serving
him. He's first of all bowing and glowering and humbling himself, but it seems like he's facing his brother face to face. He's not running away. He could have found another path to get to where he needed to, but he calls out to his brother and says, "You know what, my brother? I don't want to run away anymore from this issue with the fact that I took your birthright. I want to face it head on." And this seems to be alluded to by the fact that Yaakov says, "Kachna et birchati, take my bracha, take the blessing. I don't want it anymore. I don't deserve it. I took it with deception, and I want to give it back to you." And in fact, in the entire interaction, not just with Esav, even before with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, originally Yaakov was trying to make deals with God. If I come back to this place, then you'll reward me. And he's trying to like maneuver a deal. Here, when you're interacting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he just says, "Katonti mikol chasadim. I'm so blown away by all the kindnesses. Thank you so much, Hashem. And I'm so scared. I don't know what to do. Please, Hashem, help me." There's no games here. He's just being straight. Straight with God and straight with Esav. Right? And in fact, I think this is shown very beautifully in one of my favorite Rashis. Okay? If you notice in the Pasuk, it says that Yaakov Avinu hugged Esav. He bowed seven times. He hugged him. V'yechabkeo and v'yishakeo. Yaakov kissed him. Yaakov's a great kisser. Right? He kisses Rachel. She's blown away. And he kisses Esav. He's blown away. Right? So he kisses him. Now there are dots on the word Vayishakel. Why are there dots on the word Vayishakel? Anybody remember?
Bite.
Oh, so the pshat that we learned in kindergarten was that Esav's a vampire, right? And that's why there are dots, because he didn't really kiss him; he really was trying to bite him.
And his neck turned to stone.
Very good. And that is one interpretation and one of the Midrash. But Rashi actually doesn't say that. Rashi gives a second shot. What's that?
He didn't wholeheartedly embrace him.
No, the opposite. No, watch this. He said, well, look at Rashi. I'll read it inside. Veishakeu, nakod elav. Yesh chol gemadavar. There's an argument. Verbreitin disifri. Yesh edargin nekuda du. Shalom nashko b'choli bo. That someday he didn't kiss him with all his heart. Amar Rabbi Shimon ban Yochai. But Rabbi Shimon ban Yochai says this. Halacha yividuos Esav son of Yaakov. Normally, Esav hates Yaakov. Elishim nimchu rachama botasha umshako b'choliba. But at that moment, it was a true kiss. Normally, it was fake. But the dots are telling you, actually, for that moment, Esav truly loved Yaakov. Okay? He actually loved him. Why is that? Why did he really love him? Why did Esav feel the love? Because Yaakov truly loved Esav at that moment. There was no deception. Because his heart was open. Yaakov was a Rosh Shlomo Yid at that moment. He was mamish, hugging and loving. No matter what happened in the past, Yaakov loved Esav, and Esav felt that love that Yaakov Avinu was giving forth. There was no deception here. It was all straight. You with me? And the way to understand this story, if you ask me, is you have to understand the Lion King. You guys seen the Heiliger Lion King? Yes? So there's a moment there with Simba. He's not really sure where he's going in life. And just like Yaakov Avinu, he's lost. And he's lost connection with his father and his whole life. And he's running away. like Yaakov, he goes to the river. Just like Yaakov, he goes to the river Yabok. So he goes to the river. And then who does he see in the river? Who does Rafiki see? No, it's Simba. I'm sorry. Who does Simba see? He sees his father. Right? And he says, I have it quoted here. That's not my father, that's just my reflection. And then Rafiki says, no, look harder. And then he sees Mufasa. And then Rafiki says, you see, he lives in you. Father, Simba, you have forgotten me. No, you've forgotten who you are, and you forgot me. Look inside yourself, Simba. You're more than what you have become. You must take your place in the circle of life. And it goes on and on. It's a good song. But the point is that just like Yaakov Avinu, Simba's lost, but he goes to the river, he looks inside himself, and he reconnects to his true self. And maybe that's what Yaakov Avinu was doing when he was fighting the angel. He was fighting the angel inside of himself. He was looking inside himself to discover his true self, and he started facing his battles head on, straight, without any deception. And that's again, that was the derech of Rav Shlomo. That there's crazy stories where he would be meeting KKK members, people who were seemingly pure evil, but he looked at them with those eyes of love and compassion, and just said to them, "Your daughter loves you so much." And these people would just start breaking down. And he looked at people who were former prisoners and this and that. It didn't matter. He looked at them with these eyes of love, straight, no deception, and their hearts melted. And it's hard. It's hard. Sometimes you live in a challenging world, and it's not easy to just every person you meet to be straight and honest, because they're not necessarily acting up with us with honesty and straightness. But perhaps this is a challenge of the Jewish people, of Yaakov Avinu, to transform himself and become Ish Emet, to become Yisrael. Okay, and this is something, as the stories go on, that his children are battling with and we battle with every day. But I bless us, Bezrat Hashem, to start making, even if we fall down sometimes, to making this a priority in our life, in every interaction with my roommates, with my girlfriends, with my wife, Bezrat Hashem, with my rabbis, to just be that guy that everyone knows as he's straight. He's not going to pull any games here and there. He's the type of guy that's going to be straight, honest, full of love. Bezrat Hashem, which we zocha to become a people of emes.